We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop.
Was Fernando Rodney on the mound?
I'm not Chris Berman. I am.
Whoop.
Yeah, he goes whoop. This is a bonus episode, and we're
pre-bonus.
It's a
pre-bono,
pre-what?
Pro bono.
What is happening? We're already off the rails because it's a bonus episode. There's no rhythm whatsoever. No, that was supposed to be a siren because I'm funny and not really. But it's an emergency beer news podcast that we have to get to today. We're releasing it late Wednesday night. We still have a podcast coming tomorrow. It is an In the Brews podcast, our second one. So we had to jump in with these because these two big stories broke in the last 48 hours and we recorded the other one on Monday.
No, so, I am not drinking hazy IPAs. I promise.
No, he's only drinking the biggest hazy IPA brewer in the state at the moment.
But it's a clean West Coast IPA.
Yes. We have two big pieces of breaking news here on Beers on Us. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris with you. Thank you for listening. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio.com. That's where you can find us. 1080thefan.com. Social media, at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter, at PDD085 on Instagram. The usual. But we've got big, big breaking news to get to that we did not record in our In the Brews segment or podcast tomorrow, so we're giving it to you now early. And the first of which is massive news in the industry.
Massive.
And massive news in this city.
I would say massive on the city scale, and I would even go as far as saying the state of Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, and maybe even the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. And the second, we're not going to say yet, we're gonna get to it as the second part of the podcast, but it's also a big piece of breaking news that's close to our hearts, and it's
more of a local story.
It's a local story, and it's podcast related too. So that's coming up. Not about our podcast, but it's tied to our podcast. That's coming up in a second. But we have to start. Widmer Brothers Brewing announced that they are closing their pub and their tap room. And that was weird. The lights just went off.
Yeah, that
when
was
I
strange.
Said that.
Well, we've never done a podcast this late.
I know. I think they probably like reset the power or something.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, the recording's working.
Still on?
It's still on.
All right, baby.
Widmer Brothers Brewing.
The things we do for you guys.
Is closing its pub/taproom. The pub was already kind of closed. They only went to beer.
And that happened, what, in 2017?
No, it happened last year.
Last year?
I think it was last year. Maybe 2017.
I think it was 2017. I used to have an employee that doesn't work for us anymore that he had his roommate work there. And then it was a full restaurant, full kitchen.
We had gone, yeah.
Yeah, and they had closed that and just decided to do a tap house
and
with
they had
light
like
snacks.
Music and stuff.
Yeah, live music and events and stuff like
and
that.
And they have now decided to close that. So Widmer Brothers Brewing, one of the OGs, we have discussed them at length in a couple of our episodes.
Many times.
We had their Hef during the OG Beers episode.
It's actually a really good beer.
Will not have a place that you can drink their beer anymore. You will still be able to get their beers. They will still brew and distribute and do, you know, the big beery kind of things where you still can get all your beer out there and it's fine. But you can no longer go to their place and grab a beer.
And that's kind of where
it's weird.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'll start. Mike and I try really hard on this podcast to be informative. We're not in the game of saying these people suck, we don't like them. These people are great. Nothing's better than what they do. We try really hard to be non-biased, to be more reporting and not have opinions. This might be the first time that I'm willing to let like a true, honest opinion fly. And I only speak for myself. I do not speak for Mike Lynch. I do not speak for those that put this podcast on or anybody that's previously been on this show. This is maybe the worst decision that could have ever happened to Widmer. In fact, I will go as far as saying that this will be the death of Widmer Brewing. because as such a staple in this town, as somebody that has worked hard to be somewhere in this town, it's not about the employees that don't have jobs anymore. It's not about anything like that. You no longer have a place in which people can get your beer directly. You have been losing money. You are producing other beers for other brewery labels. You are half owned by big beer. You already have things going against you. The last thing you had going for you was to be able to create an atmosphere for people to come in and drink your beers. You have a pilot brew system where you say, okay, there's a bunch of these one-off batches that are going to hit the area in the spring. Well, guess what? If I taste those at a place that has dirty lines, what is that going to do for me? If I'm somebody that knows nothing about beer, that comes to Portland, and I've had the Hefe because I live in St. Louis, Missouri, and that's all I want to try when I go there, guess what? I no longer have a place to go. In my opinion, the name Widmer, that brewing facility will never go under because it's got too much money in it. It's too much great things. The name Widmer will die. Kona's a bigger brand now. Red Hook breaks even, and Widmer loses money. And I hate to say this. There are people over there that I know, that I respect, that I really like. But from a conglomerate level, this is what happens when you let big money come in. Because restaurants, tap rooms have an overhead that conglomerates, that corporations don't want to deal with. They'd rather make beer, put it in package, put it in stores, and make money that way. And that is corporate America. And that is why you will no longer be able to walk into a Widmer tap room. And to me, I hate to say it, but sorry, not sorry.
Well, we
and again, I apologize. I try really hard not to be negative or any of that kind of stuff. But this is just something. Big beer grinds my gears, and the Craft Brewers Alliance, the Widmer, Kona, Red Hook thing, teetered the line, but teetered it a little too far than I'd like. And this is where it stops for me.
We haven't even done the big beer episode, which we have in the notes.
Which I'm scared to because of the 3-minute rant I just went on.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's something that will need to be discussed eventually, and it's okay to be emotionally attached to craft beer and not like that big beer buys out beer.
I mean, I grew up in this town. I work in this town. Everything means the world to me. I'm super scared about the second topic we have to talk to because it's some, you know, I'm scared I'm going to break down and cry in the middle of it because this stuff means a lot to me. And when you decide that this is the route you're going to go because of financial reasons, when you're making hundreds of thousands of barrels of beer a year and you've decided that a tap room is financially not worth your interest, that's a slap in the face.
Well, so my opinion on this is, one, that pub or tap room was in the worst location. Worst to me. Like, there's nothing else around it, almost nothing else around it. And it's kind of hard to get to. So when I went, I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of close to Moda Center, I suppose. There's a bar up the street, there's a little restaurant hub down the street. It wasn't in a great spot. So for me, I only went to Widmer once as a customer going to their pub. I went once for an event at their bigger space that they have like events in. But once I went to the pub, we didn't go back, not because we didn't like it. Actually, the food was pretty good, but it was just not that convenient. It wasn't easy to get to. B, kind of what you're saying, in a city that so loves craft beer and so gets behind small new breweries, if you're a big guy in the city and you're still making the beer and you still have a restaurant, you still have a place that people can congregate, people will still come to you.
Without a doubt.
Even if you're in a hard to reach location, in my opinion. Once you close that, the local connection is gone.
Absolutely gone.
To me, now Widmer is just supermarket beer. It's not a Portland brewery. It's not a place that's local that I can be like, oh, look, I'm supporting Portland beer. It's a supermarket beer that sits on shelves across the country. And makes a good hef and started, it was pioneers in the industry and has a great history behind it.
But I drank a ton of Drifter when that was a thing, and then they stopped making that for whatever reason.
But now it's going to start losing the Portland connection, and that sucks. And I understand that if you sell to Big Beer or sell part of your company to Big Beer, that that could happen. But hell, there's other examples of places that are still open. 10 Barrel. They're killing it at that spot. They got upstairs deck. They got a place in Boise. They got a place in Bend.
The new place in Bend is doing just fine.
You can still do it. So,
and to your point of location, White Eagle from McMinniman's up the road's doing just fine. Laboratory just up the road, same street, doing just fine. Go up a little farther, take a right, Ex Novo, doing just fine. Take a left up the street and go up the hill. Ecliptic is right there, and then you're at Mississippi. It might seem like a bad location.
To
you, it might have felt, but there are people around you doing well. And to say that it is a financial decision, that this is not worth the money and time you're putting into it, I call BS. Especially because I have a source close to me that said they were there the other day and saw a giant team of salespeople going out to a 5-star dinner. So if that's where you want to spend your money, on a 5-star dinner for 8 people instead of keeping a tap room afloat, your priorities are clearly corporate America. And guess what? In the state of Oregon, especially in the city of Portland, we have zero time for corporate America because beer is the common person thing. Craft beer in this city is blue collar. And when you've decided you're no longer blue collar, buy. Like 10 Barrels sold, but they at least try to put on a facade that they're still with us. You know, Whitney's over there and she's a fantastic brewer. And that is probably what keeps us going to that brewery, is that we love and respect her and we want to taste her beers and we're excited for the beers that she's going for. Even if the people ahead of her that pay her bills and take the money from the pints we buy, we still respect her. This, you lost it. You lost everything. Like, you had a chance to stick with it, and I'm out.
Well, you did have one.
I only speak for myself. Again, I don't speak for you, Mike. I don't speak for anybody I'm associated with or anything like that. I just speak for myself.
You are much more strong opinionated about the Big Beer stuff than I am.
Probably because I'm from here.
Right, but I agree with some of what you're saying. I mean, I said it myself. Like, you lose that connection to the city, and then all of a sudden, what happens to you, right? And I kind of feel like that's going to happen eventually with Widmer. It's not going to be immediate, but it'll happen eventually. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as to say the Widmer name dies, but who knows? You never know. You did say there was a positive about this, at least something good that they did with the closing.
Oh yeah. The good thing is after they shut down the gastro pub, they did keep on some people, and it sounds like some of those people that are still in the tap room will move on to some other positions within the company. And that I like. I mean, I think one of the biggest thing that scares me about any of this stuff is people losing jobs. Because those people, they don't reap benefits by upping barrelage by 50,000 barrels a year or a buyout, you know. Only the full sale kids know what a buyout actually feels like, because those are the people that actually got paid out because they're employee owned. So I am glad to know that some of the people that work there are being offered positions other places within the company. Because putting people out of a job just because you've made poor business decisions and have decided something's not worth your time and effort is not cool. It's another thing that rubs a lot of people the wrong way in this town. It's just saying, I don't have time for you, so good luck.
It's surprising. It's the same. We talked about it when Portland Brewing is closing down their restaurant. They're only gonna sell or distribute their beer. Luckily they have the name Portland in their name. Yeah. But I feel similarly about that, where it's like you start to lose that connection with the people, and it becomes more about just the money.
I've always thought in this town, in my early days of learning about craft beer, the thought of the big boys, you know, the Deschutes, the McMinimins, the Bridgeports of the world, that if you worked for them in a higher capacity, that told me job security. And now I highly question that. Not for those guys specifically, because I don't know how their operations work. I don't know what their futures hold. But to see Widmer going down this path makes me think, hey, you know what? Working in large breweries is kind of scary. Because you can be, you know, I met a guy today that used to be a sales guy for a pretty big time brewery. And he was let go because why should I pay this guy 60 grand a year when I can pay a college kid 30? And that's what happens when you get to that side. And
that's all industries too, though.
Yeah, and they're not even sellouts. And so the early naive days of me thinking working for those bigger boys was a great idea kind of gets scary now.
Yeah.
Because you could be lost at any minute.
Well, that's a big piece of news number one. Widmer Brothers Brewing closing its pub and tap room. And
I need a cigarette.
They will now only distribute their beer. Another really, really big piece of news breaking today, which is one of the reasons we're doing this emergency podcast today.
Yeah, what do we call this? 911?
Yeah, it's the 911 Emergency Beer News Podcast. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And that is that Cerveza is going to be sold. And it's a place that is now very near and dear to both of our hearts. It was before I started the podcast, but I've now been back like 7 times since we've done the podcast. And we have Sarah Peterson on the line with us right now. So first of all, thank you for hopping on such quick notice there, Sarah. And I guess the first simple question is why?
Why? Because I am a mom with 2 kids, and I'm a wife of an awesome husband, and that comes in addition to being a sole proprietor of a business, and it's been an amazing run. And I just realized, I realized over the last couple of years, you can't just do everything awesomely. And I think it's ready for me. It's a good time for me to focus on my family and myself. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of us understand this. I think those of us that know you within this industry, within this business, know that, you know, You're not a BSer. You don't fake it. You're probably of all the people I've come across in this biz, you're probably one of the most genuine, down to earth, not gonna lie, not gonna candy coat anything. And so it makes sense that you wanna do this. So it's kind of exciting that you're ready to endeavor into something different.
And frankly, that's the best reason to do it is for your family. I mean, if there's a reason to leave a business is to spend more time with your family.
Well, you know, when I started Cerveza, I always believed that that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. That was going to be my job. And I started the business for that reason, for me to have a job and for me to give jobs to other people. And you just realize over the course of time, sometimes your jobs change, and having kids is a heck of a job. And I didn't anticipate that. And when you, after having 2 kids and you wrap your heart around them, you know, you got to figure things out. So I'm so proud of Cerveza for sure. But it's grown up and my kids need me while they grow up. It's their turn.
So you said there you wanted to give people jobs. What does this mean for your staff and for the people who have been by your side for the whole time? Are they receptive to this? Are they happy about it? Or what's that going to mean for them?
Oh, thanks for asking. That was the most important for me, or question for me too. This has been, for me, it's a hard process, and there's been a lot of grieving and worry too, you know, wanting to make sure that your people end up in good hands. And they have been receptive. I think part of it is because they're a solid team and they look forward and they know that a lot of it has to come from them. And they want to carry on the mission of Cerveza, which has always been about great food and solid beer and awesome hospitality. But they know that that's in their hands. And I think they're all looking at it as an opportunity and a new chapter for Cerveza. But I know I shed a couple tears today, and I know a lot of them are also have some sadness, but as you should. Right? When there's a change.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited. I'm excited for them as well. So hopefully there's new opportunity for everybody here.
I am trying really hard to view this as a professional standpoint, Sarah. I know we talked on the phone earlier today, and I'm I'm trying to hold it together here as this media member that I am in this point, but like I'm really excited. Once we're done with this, I'm probably going to roll up to your spot and have a beer and BS with Todd there for a minute. My question, so before we get into the future, what could be the future surveys and the buyers and where they go next, I guess I want to kind of talk with you a little bit about what you're going to miss, what are the things you love, what are the things you're the most proud of, and I guess I'll leave that kind of open to you. When you look back at the 10 years that you have ran this place, which is such a giant staple in the Portland scene, what are the things you're the most proud about?
My customers and my staff. It always comes down to the people, right? And I guess, and also our industry relations. It is a lot about people, and I guess that's what running a bar should be about, or running a restaurant, when you're trying to create a community. And when you sell or leave, you essentially, you know, leave that day-to-day life. And that's been a big, that's tough. That's tough. You know, I could say the beer, but I can still go to grocery store and buy good beer. and I know actually a place to buy really good beer. but really it's going to be all the people that I'm going to miss. What am I most proud of? I'm so proud to have had a business that was able to stay open for 10 years and to be able to pass on something that's in really great condition. You know, it's a well-oiled machine, and there's lots of love there. And I'm very proud of that. I think, how cool is it if you're somebody who lives in a town this size with this cool of a environment and there's a restaurant down the street with your name on it? I mean, I'm stoked.
And you guys had a big name brewery make a beer solely for you just this year in Ex Novo. That's pretty badass too.
Yeah. Ex Novo is pretty great. I thought you were gonna be talking about Breakside there and our Wisco that they make as well.
No. I was thinking about the antlers and on the can, the vase of beer.
one of our
bang on the drum.
Yeah, one of our beer of the weeks the bang on the drum that we got excited that was
bang
made for that. I try really hard not to just be a Breakside honk here, but I guess we gotta, since we got you into something a little lighter. Do you think we can keep Wisco going? Like, do you think we can keep that rolling at the spot even though you're gone?
I guess that's a question for Jeremy and Quinn, right?
yeah, I guess so.
We love Wisco. We love that it has our name on it, and our with the Wisconsin name on it. And I guess that's a answer that the new owners have to agree on. I guess I from what I've heard and when I talk to them, they want to keep everything the same. So
perfect. That's good for all the customers too. Are you planning on doing, I know this, you just decided this very, very recently, but have you thought of anything, planning anything special before you sign off at Vesa? Another event or anything cool like that?
You know what? We've not talked about that. We've not thought about it. But in the last 3 hours, I've been asked it about 10 times. So I think I need to start thinking about it.
Sarah, I think there might be one or two people that would like to hang out with you one more time.
And I'm going to throw this out there because I've been told about Patrick about it, and I didn't get to partake the first time. That OG Beers event that you guys had sounds really cool if you'd like to throw another one of those. Just selfishly for me.
Close to my heart, that's for sure.
So this brings us to the next, you know, tell us, you know, we know the names, we know the people, but you have these more behind the scenes interactions. Tell us about what the future of Cervasa entails into what you know. Who are the new owners? How did you meet these guys? How did it come to fruition that these were the right people to turn it over to?
Right. Well, it's Jeremy and Quinn who own Roscoe's, and Cervasa has been open for 10 years, an amazing decade, but Roscoe's has been open for 12, so they've been around in this game longer than I have, and I met them at when they, you know, when we first opened, and they were patrons at Cervasa, and then I would also go to Roscoe's. So I've just known them through the industry and, you know, as fellow peers in the industry after some time. How did we get together on this is, you know, for me, it's like, if I'm going to leave this, I want CeraVe to be carried on. And when I look around and think about people who I know have a similar idea or belief system in what they do, similar to what I do, I definitely thought of them immediately. And it helps that they run kitchens because food is an integral part of Cerveza. And so we got together and it was a pretty quick conversation.
Well, for as someone who had not been to Vesa before I started this podcast, I've told you this in person, but the amount of rave reviews we got about the Bottle Shop podcast when we had you on and we did it at Cerveza is enormous. It's one of the most popular podcasts that we've done so far in our first 20-30 that we've done. And then Second, it's a spot that, as for someone who lives in Beaverton, I've made a point to go out there every single time I'm in the neighborhood. Going to the airport. Or
oh, you're so sweet.
Going out. Last weekend, we went to Podna's Pit down Killingsworth, and I was like, oh, we got to stop at Vesa. We're going out to Killingsworth. I've gone so many times since we've done that podcast, and you should be so proud of that, that you got a guy who lives in Beaverton to make that decision to go to Vesa over many other places that are closer to my house because of the impact I felt going there. So, I mean, it's sad that you're selling it, but it's also... It's been a great, great experience for me learning more about beer and learning about bottle shops.
I hope you don't have to think twice about it in the future. These guys are real excited about taking over the reins. They're pumped and I think it's going to be a good thing. So hopefully you feel the same next time you need to go get some ribs.
Well, I as a man who lives down the street, I was there the night before that we're recording this. I'm probably going there after I get off because that's just kind of what I do sort of thing. My question is, Sarah, for you, what are you going to do to keep that basic instinct inside of you about being part of the community? Do you have any sort of idea how you want to still keep a footprint? Because even though you may not be the owner of this, you know, fantastic beer bar in the greater Portland area, I know you, and I know to an extent you're going to want to find ways to keep in. Am I just waiting for 3 years for you to be inducted in the OBA Hall of Fame, or what are you going to do to keep yourself part of the beer industry while you take this time with the fam?
That's such a good question, Patrick. Well, one thing I've been talking about for like the last 3 or 4 years to my husband is, man, what would it be like to be a regular somewhere? So I'm going to take a stab at that.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. As a regular at your place, I love where your brain is.
I'm just like, to be on that side of the bar and to have a feeling of home and a place where you walk in and no judgment. You're just there to unload and relax. Sounds really exciting to me. And then the other thing I've thought about, and I'm saying this out loud, for the first time, and it's true, but I was thinking that maybe it'd be really fun to volunteer at some festivals. So those are two things that I have thought about.
So you're not afraid. You're not running away from us. You do want to stick around a little bit.
Yeah. No, I'm not running away. And I'm not going gluten-free or anything.
Well, we didn't think you were crazy right. by any means.
Come on, bread's delicious. Let's go. All right. Well, Sarah Peterson, Sarah Vesa, deciding to sell after 10 years running the place. And she says it's going to stay basically exactly the same, which is great news for all the customers and the staff as well. Thanks so much for hopping on with us on such short notice on the day of the decision. Appreciate it so much.
Oh, no problem. You guys are great. Thank you so much for all your support.
Thanks, Sarah. We look forward to your future endeavors. And if in 10 years you get bored and want to jump back in this business, I'm sure there's a bunch of people that'd be willing to give you a phone call.
Okay. I need to get that beer with you too, Patrick.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Take care, guys.
So yeah, that's the big news that's hitting us both close to the heart right now. You probably much more than me, but when you told me that, I literally felt my heart sink when you said that. And what I said to Sarah in the interview there is 100% true. I wasn't just buttering her up or anything. I have gone there many times since we did that episode. It is not convenient for me. It is nowhere near where I live. It is the opposite direction of where my normal work is to my home. And yet I have still gone back multiple times. And I brought my wife there for the first time probably like a month ago at this point. I think you actually came by that mm-hmm. day.
Yeah.
It was after a Wazoo game, I remember.
And go Cougs.
It was, and she liked it too. It was, and she's from Minnesota, so there's probably a little bit of the upper Midwest vibe that she grew to like. But this kind of sucks. But also, when she said that she hopes and doesn't think much is going to change, maybe it doesn't really suck. Like, it's great that Sarah's making this decision for herself and for her family. I totally respect that 100%. And if the new owners are willing to keep it mostly the same, then maybe it's just the next step of Sarah Vesa, you know?
For me personally, I live down the street, and I will want to tell the infamous story of the first time I ever walked in, and I'll get to that in a minute. But there are very, very few people in this industry that I trust, respect, and appreciate more than Sarah Peterson. Sarah does not beat around the bush. Sarah will not float your ego. Sarah is a very smart business person, and she has built something that is absolutely fantastic. I trust her. I trust that, you know, of course I'm very proud of her to kind of look and say, you know, like, as somebody who has been in relationships that are no longer current anymore, and I think a lot of those have to do with some of my professions, some of my jobs that I've worked, that I've spent, you know, a lot of time on for good reasons, but they have hurt myself in a personal way. And if Sarah tells me that, I believe her, I trust her. And when she tells me these are the people, when it's Jeremy and Quinn from the Roscoe's group, if those are the people she trusts to turn over to them, I believe her. I trust her. I have spoken personally to a couple of the staff members today. You know, sure, there's a little uncertainty in the air, but they're excited. They want to see, okay, what's next? You know, how are we going to do this? I don't know how the neighborhood will react. I know this story broke today, and I spoke with a couple people that live in the neighborhood, and it's alarming, and not in a bad way. Just in a...
Well, I think initially it is a negative reaction, because when you hear the word sold, you're going, so it's gone?
Yeah.
But no.
Are we shutting this building down so it's trampolined and then becoming apartments, you know, five stories high? No. But I think that's just a testament to what Sarah's done there. That is such a staple of North Portland. As a person that's lived on Killingsworth for 3 years, that has been going to her bar for six, like, that is a staple. Like, that is when someone says, where's the best place to go on Killingsworth? It's not even a question. Like, that's the kind of spot. When people talk to me about the beer bars in town, where am I going to go to get a beer? Where am I going to go to buy a good package? Hey, I'm really looking for this, you know, B-bomb coconut. Where can I find one? My answer almost every time is go up to Cerveza. There's a good chance they have it. If not, ask the bartender. They'll probably tell you it's coming in next week. It's crazy. I tried really hard. I almost didn't want to ask any questions in that interview with Sarah, because Sarah's a friend of mine. That place means the world to me, and I'm trying really hard not to be emotional about it.
Yeah, I understand.
She better throw a party. If she doesn't throw a party, we'll
throw her a party.
We're going to have words.
You go to the rest of the staff and say, throw her a party.
Yeah, we'll throw a party.
And also, she loves dark beer, so.
She does.
More brownie points for
me. She likes malty beers, just in general.
Yes.
I have been very fortunate. I have sat down at times. There are times I used to go in there every Wednesday afternoon. I used to have Wednesdays off, and I used to go in there every Wednesday afternoon. And every once in a while, you know, someone would walk in, like a distributor, like a smaller distributor that had a lot of beers from out of state, from out of region, Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, stuff like that. And she'd be like, hey, Patrick, I can't do this by myself. Will you sit in and taste beers with me? And it was, I'm not lying to you, one of the biggest compliments ever. And I was just a dude that sat at the bar and was a nice customer and drank IPAs mostly. And the fact that she would reach out her arm to me and say, hey, sit in, taste these beers. I want to know, is this going to sell? Is it not going to sell? Even though she was more than capable of doing it on her own. The fact that she looked at a customer, looked at a regular and said, hey, you're a part of this place. Help me out. Meant the world to me. And that's why I have always volunteered at her events. You know, she said she was interested in volunteering for stuff. Like, Sarah, like, if you're listening to this right now, you're the reason I volunteer. I work in beer all day, every day. I have no desire to work in beer on my days off. I don't mind being a part of beer, but I don't want to work. But that was something I've always, no brainer, I will volunteer for. I've worked the last 3 Farmhouse and Wildale festivals. I worked 2 double IPA festivals. And if she ever needed me, I always told her anytime.
Well, that's it. That's our emergency.
It's a soft spot. It's a soft spot in my heart.
Look, I've been going there for months, not years, and it's still a soft spot in my heart too. You know, I feel it the same way, and I think that's just a credit to what she made, and that's what I said in the interview with her. It's a special place. She did a great job building a very family atmosphere, and yeah.
Bon
voyage.
To end on a positive note, she is selling to Jeremy and Quinn, who run Roscoe's. They also own Miyamoto, which is the ramen shop right next to Roscoe's, and Steinhaus, which is a German themed beer bar in Southeast. And those have done really well. I spoke to another friend of mine who I work with every day, who is, you know, very much in the distribution game, that knows all these places. And when I told him it was Jeremy and Quinn buying it, he kind of lit up. He was like, oh, no, really? That's probably a really great thing. And he knows the selling distribution game better than anybody in this town does. And for him, you know, obviously, you know, he has a great relationship with Sarah and all that stuff. For him to his eyes to be excited and say, hey, his other places must be doing great if he's able to take on Cerveza. When he said that, there was a little bit in me that kind of just relaxed a little bit. You know, I know everyone's scared. Like, what are you going to do to my bar? Are you going to change my bar? But this is my bar. Don't mess with my stuff. I'm not necessarily that guy, because I'm always open to, if something's going to be better, I'm in. But this one's probably a little more personal for me. But to hear someone say that makes me feel good. And I've been texting back and forth with some of the employees at Vesa, and they seem very positive about it. And if employees are in, if initial reaction from those that are, you know, full deep into the industry have a positive reaction, I think it's good. And the bottom of the line is, I trust Sarah. I trust Sarah more than maybe anybody in this business.
Well, there it is. That's our emergency 911 beer emergency thing that we've probably changed the name 100 times since you've been listening to this, but it is...
This is kind of fun. We've never had to do this.
No, it's literally 9:42 p.m. on a Wednesday night, and we were just like, yep, got to record this right now.
Yeah, I got the news early this morning, and I instantly texted you, and I was like, hey, Mike, I know... You know, the podcast is going to drop tomorrow.
It's already been recorded.
We recorded a couple days ago trying to get ahead of some stuff, and it's an In the News, In the Brews podcast.
And, I know. It's the timing that it is.
With the 2 stories that have dropped over the last 48 hours, there was no way we couldn't step in and let you guys know kind of our takes and just keep you up to date as the media is going to continue to circulate around these 2 stories.
Well, we still will have tomorrow's episode dropping at 4:00. Ish on all the various things. Hopefully we're having some issues with the podcast at the moment, so hopefully it's where you expect it to be. I guess if you're listening right now, it is, or
it's
you found
funny.
It
there's
in the
some
other
stuff
place.
In there that we're like, oh, there's some sad things in it, and it's like, oh, today's a little different.
Yeah it is. Tomorrow we will be talking about a couple of brewery releases that are happening,
mm-hmm.
as well as another brewery that is going up for sale that we discussed earlier this week when we first recorded it. And we have our beer of the week next week as well, and a little bit of our BSing in the beginning of the podcast. So all the usual podcast stuff is still coming up tomorrow on our second In the Brews podcast. So check that out, 4:00. Thanks so much for listening tonight. It was It's breaking news. It's breaking beer news, and it's big news, and we got to get to it. So thank you for listening late tonight, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Deuces.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.